We just have a few minutes together now, but let us seize the opportunity to seize an incredible, incredible, incredible Ramban. This is the last Ramban in the Parsha, the last Ramban in Parsha's Bo. As I mentioned to you guys earlier this morning, arguably the most famous, possibly the most oft-quoted Ramban of HaTorah. Turn your attention to the very, very bottom of column Shin Mem He. Right at footnote number 3. This is the last mitzvah that appears in Parshas Bo. The last two paragraphs in Parshas Bo are Kadesh Vayiki Viecha, which are two of the four parshas in Tefillin, and discuss various mitzvahs, including Tefillin. And the Ramban, after the beginning of this paragraph where he talks about some details about Tefillin, and let's actually begin, I take back what I said, let's begin from the last line on column Shin Mem Dalet, and then we'll skip pretty rapidly to the bottom of Shin Mem Hay. Shoresh v'hine shoresh ha-mitzvah hazos. What's the root of this mitzvah? What's the core of this mitzvah being the mitzvah of Tefillin? Shenaniach kesav yitzias Mitzrayim al harosh v'al al harosh, to put some writing about yitzias Mitzrayim, written material about yitzias Mitzrayim, on our yad and our rosh, on our arms and heads, keneged halev v'hamoach. So right away he's telling us that the core meaningfulness of those two locations is that they're next to the heart and next to the brain. Shehi mishkanos hamachshava. And they, the heart and brain, in turn, are the seats of the mind. Certainly symbolizing both rational thought and emotion. And he should be noted, he's using the word shoresh in a way that's very reminiscent of how the Sefer HaChinuch uses the word. Every single mitzvah, the Sharashe HaMitzvah, are the Tam HaMitzvah, are those ideas or attitudes which the mitzvah reinforces. He's using maybe not the identical way, certainly very similar. And it is assumed that the Sefer HaChinuch was probably a Talmud or a Talmud of a Talmud of the Ramban. For many years it was assumed that he was the Ra'ah, who was one of the Talmidei Ramban. We have a mitzvah to make Yitzias Mitzrayim into a totefes. And so the first two parshas of Kriyat Shema are about putting Yitzias Mitzrayim in that location. Opposite our minds and hearts, as we would say. Parshas Shema Vayev Shamoa, Nistavinu Shenasa HaMitzvot Gam Kein Tau Tafos. There, the way the Torah presents it, is not that you're placing Yetzias Mitzrayim in this location, but you're placing the mitzvahs. Vayuaz Bar Ma'ele Shainochum Mitzav Chayom Al Vavecha Vayu Tau Tafos Beninecha. So that's why we have two parshas that are meant to remind us of meant to maintain our focus in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then we have the two parshas of Chumash Devarim, In other words, mitzvahs hayichud, the zikron kol hamitzvahs ve'onchan uscharim, the kol hashorish be'amuna. Remember in yichud habori, the existence of a single God who powers and runs the entire universe. That's the core essence of the parsha of Shema. And mitzvos, and that mitzvahs have consequences, schar v'yonesh, that's the core theme of Vayom Shamoa. Then goes on to talk al derech ha-kabbalah. And then he goes on to return the Baram Shin Mem Hei, Omar lecha klal betam mitzvos rabos. He says, I want to share with you a principle that's relevant to many, many mitzvos. Hinei me'ei feyos avodazar ba'olon me'enosh echelu ha-deus v'shtabeish b'emuna. Avodazar has been around for a long time. Distortions of emuna have been around for millennia, and it comes in different flavors. Mehem kofrim be'ikar v'omrim k'olam kadmon. There are those who deny the existence of a creator. They say the world is kadmon. Universe has always been here. Steady state universe. Or endlessly oscillating universe. Kachashu b'Hashem yomer lo. They denied the existence of Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a second group. Mehem machishim b'diyas ha'apratis. The second group who accept the existence of a single creator, of a single God, but reject the notion that he has specific knowledge, specific awareness of what you and I are up to, and what he and she are up to. V'yamru eicha yeda kel. V'yesh deyev elyon. People say, of course there's a God. He's a transcendent God out there. He's the CEO of the universe. He knows what I'm doing. He cares what I'm up to. But that's Apikorsis number two. Then Apikorsis number three, or Avodah Zarah number three, Mehem Shiyodu B'Yidia, there are the third group who not only accept the existence of a creator, but even accept that he's aware of Machisha Mahashkacha. They deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares and is involved with us on a specific level. Yasu Adam Kidiyam for like the fish. Say Ashgiah on Kalam Shinama. Say Ashgiah HaKalbahem. This third Apikorsis would argue that Baruch Hu created us. He knows what's going on, but he has access to the data, but he doesn't do anything with it. Why would he care? Anyone, Orosh Hashar. And therefore they don't believe that there are consequences, good or otherwise, for our action, good or otherwise. Yomru azab Hashem esar. That's what they would say. It's in the bottom of the quote from Yechezkel. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shehir tzalekim be'eda obiyachir. If Ribbono Shel Olam takes particular interest in a group, in eda, or an individual, v'yazim an mofes v'shinoi minhago shel olam v'tivo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does nisim, Kadosh Baruch contravenes the normal patterns of nature on behalf of this individual or group, then he's very akol, itah de'ezeh kulam. That refutes all three flavors of Apikorsis. Amofes haniflam moreshesh la'olam elokah, b'chadsho yodea mashgiach v'yam. That sort of nace demonstrates that there's a God who b'chadsho created the world, and who is Yodea Umashiach V'yach, and knows what's going on, is involved, and is fully capable, is omnipotent. He has the power to do as he pleases. That's 4 points. And then he says, there's a fifth point also. Here's an add-on. If not only there was a nace done on behalf of person or person, but Kashiyah Mokhisah Hunigzar Kilapinavi, if that nace was also predicted in advance via Nebuah, Yisrael Rabbi Menu Od Amitas HaNebuah. If that nace was also predicted in advance, then it also demonstrates point number five, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will at times communicate with human beings. The existence of Nevuah. And that gives foundation, a logical conceptual foundation, a framework for all of Torah. If you believe that when you recognize that there's a God who is out there, who powers the world, runs it, cares about it, is fully capable of intervention, and communicates, there you have it. Those are so many of the Ikari Emuna that you need, so many of the Ikari Emuna that you need in place in order to have a viable system of halacha. And he says that's why it goes on to say, you look throughout the language of Va'era and Bo, when Moshe Rabbeinu is discussing the Makos, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I should say, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Paro about the Makos, there are a number of phrases, Lama'am, Lama'am this, Lama'am that we often tend to ignore. And Van said, you ignore them at your peril? That's a major part of the whole story. When the Pesukim say, Lamante Dak Yani Hashem Bekarot, you'll know that I am God in the midst of the land, that means Hashkacha. Laharosa Hashkacha, Gilo Azabosa Lemikrim Kedaitam. That's biblical Hebrew for this Makkah will demonstrate the Yesod of Hashkacha. That Hashkacha was involved. Lamante Dak Yashem Haaretz,
So that you'll know that the world is God's. That's another way of saying chidush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Yehem shalosh ebram yesh mayayim. Ebram mayayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire universe out of nothingness. Ex nihilo. The entire physical universe is a creature of creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vavur tedak shei kamon v'chard. You'll know that there's none like me throughout the world. That's another way of saying yecholas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. Shalit bako. He's fully powerful. He's almighty. And so on and so forth. Rabban goes on to say, let me paraphrase some of what comes up. Rabban goes on to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to do this. The Makos were critically important as a basis, not the only basis, but as a basis for so many Ikari Emunah. Number one, it wasn't just about, the Makos weren't just a strategy to extract the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. That's point number one, which is very important. Otherwise, you wonder the way all these Makos were. It took 10 tries. Isn't there a more efficient way to get at that? Rabban explained, no one if you were wondering about that. No. The extraction of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim was one of the objectives of the Makos, but it was certainly not the only objective of Makos. The Makos were also the ultimate shiur in Emunah. It was 10 classes in Emunah, so you need all 10 classes. Number two, the Rabban says, if it needed to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not interested in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in doing this every 20 years. Rabban Shalom clearly made a decision when creating the universe, he wanted the universe to generally be patterned. The universe would follow, with exceptions, as he wills them, but in general, the universe follows a certain rhythm. Physics, and mathematics, and chemistry. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in doing Nisim all the time, which is why he says you have so many mitzvos, both quantitatively, there are so many mitzvos that remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and qualitatively, so many of them are very, very chamor. Eat chametz on Pesach, karis. You don't bring karis on Pesach, karis. Seems rather severe. He says, yes. There's so much be'echus of the kamas, qualitatively, quantitatively, there's so much stress in the system of halacha placed upon zechiras yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's not just a historical event, nor is it even just an event that shaped our national identity, which it did. It's also an event which is the knowledge of which, a visceral knowledge of which, is a key ingredient in the recipe to build our emunah. And he says that's why we have so many mitzvahs that are zeichir yetzias Mitzrayim. And so many of them are severe, chametz and Pesach and so forth. So many of them are very frequent, like tefillin and zeichir yetzias Mitzrayim. And then finally he says, and let's close with this. There are lines that we're skipping for the fun. We certainly be very kedar to learn patient and involved straight. He goes on to say, a Jew puts on tefillin, do one mitzvah, you sit in sukkah all of a sudden. Wow, you just manifested that you accept a whole host of Ikari Amunah. He has a critical line about how our ultimate goal of purpose of existence is to be aware of and have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Kavanas HaYetzira. It talks about the raising one's voice in davening, Kavanah and Shul being so central. Those Tefillos HaRabim. And then finally, picking up the Shin Mem Zayin, Mehanisim HaGidolim HaMeforsamim. Awareness, this whole major movement in halacha, a major chunk of halacha, serves to reinforce our awareness of nisim geluyim and everything that drives forward, and where that's supposed to get us. Min hanisim hagedolim hanefurstamim adam modeh benisim hanestarim shehem yisod haTorah kula. The ultimate goal is not to know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, one of those razzle dazzle nisim from time to time. That's meant to get us to an even greater level of religious awareness, which is to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in subtle ways involved in the everyday of our lives. She'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not a member of the Torah community. So you recognize that everything in life is nisim. It's all nisim to start. HaKadosh Baruch was interested in the world being patterned. It's clear that HaKadosh Baruch created patterns of physics and chemistry. And at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch was managing the universe. And the teva itself is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch continues to be intimately involved in our lives. The goal is not to just notice HaKadosh Baruch in the great razzle-dazzle moments. The goal is to feel, to be able to hear the whisper of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the cracks, through the cracks and crevices of everyday life. Meitzis min acharachim, Ashtama describes it. He says, and that is the ultimate goal. And that is the ultimate goal of tefillin, of the entire thrust of the end of Parshas Bo. You had the story of the Makos in T.S. Mitzrayim, and the end of Bo is we're actually going to let it fizzle away. Now we're going to begin to introduce a whole system of mitzvahs that will make this increasingly a part of our lives. And that, as I said before, that's the shoresh, to take ideas and tie them to our brains and hearts, is the mitzvah we get to do every morning, and a whole host of absolutely critical ideas. We recognize Shema Vayim Shemoa as basic Yisodos Ha'emuna, coming back to where it began, the first two, Kashra Kiviyacha, which are ostensibly historical, they're about the story, but the goal is not just to remember the story, to know the history. The ultimate goal is the way in which that history synergizes with the direct statements of faith, Shema Vayim Shema.
Synergizes?
Absolutely. They work well and play off each other with the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, driven home in Tashma Kivicha, is the other half of the puzzle that helps to build our understanding and appreciation of Shema Vayim Shema. I think I've mentioned in the past that the comment of Yaakov Emden, which is even more true now than it was then, when he said in the 1700s that by now, Kaiser has survived and thrived for so many centuries, that by now, even then, a couple centuries ago, and all the more so now, said that they continue surviving and thriving of Al Yisrael is by now an even greater source for Emunah in Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it should be noted in closing that the Ramban is a key comment about that as well, because he made the point that it's not only seeing the Nisim, when Nisim were pre-predicted, it's that much more powerful. It's not only to see the singularity of Jewish survival, but it's to see that that's already appears in Chumash. Chumash talks about the survival of Klal Yisrael. Chumash talks about the survival of Torah. That's incredibly powerful in terms of Rabbi Rabosai. I will see you all over to Shem tomorrow, a morning for Shacharis, and have a profoundly meaningful, productive Bein Hazmanim. And by the time you finish Shacharis tomorrow, you should have, as we discussed last week, projects in place for the course of Tariq.
Thanks so much.
Shavra, Yashar Kayach.